Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Senior Pastor Rick Shelton for this life-changing message.
All righty. Well, I've come here to do several things today, and I hope we can get them all done. A lot of amount of time I have. Really, all that matters is just we get the business of the kingdom done, right? And so just real quick, before I get into what will be a short message, I wanted to just bring to you, since this is my first time being here, and this is only the, is this the fourth Sunday? The fourth Sunday, can you believe that? Isn't that something? Before I get into it, I want to talk about this church, this campus. But y'all know, I think already everybody knows that this is the campus, Waterloo Church campus, of which we have three: one in Fenton, Missouri; one in Central West End in the city, and this is the third one. We've actually just gone on this campaign, really just last year, to begin to multiply our reach and our campuses, and so this third one, and there will be many more like that, all over this entire area, east side, west side, all over this area. And so I thought I would just give you these four things, and I've got them, I think we've got them on the screen for us. But what it means to be one church with multiple campuses, this is what it means, and just help you to understand a little bit of what it means to be one church with multiple campuses. Number one is it means we are reaching different areas and people groups with different characteristics and culture and needs, but functioning under one vision. In other words, what that means is, first of all, we are not, we function under one vision. In other words, there's a vision that God has given us here at Life, and all those, Pastor Matt and Katie and all those who have been with us for some time, for a long time, know that vision. They have that in their heart. There's a certain DNA of this house. Can I just say this to you, by the way, that about that vision, that, this is not all of it, but let me tell you some of the characteristics of the DNA of this house, what we build on and believe in so strongly. First of all, everything begins by building leaders, by discipling people, growing them up in the Lord. This is not a church where people come to sit. It's a church where people come to serve and be sent. Did you hear that? Not to come and sit, but to come to serve and be sent. And I am convinced that if people come with a mindset, maybe they've gotten from some other church background, where that they come and then just, with the attitude, bless us, Pastor, and we'll just sit here, that they won't be happy, because we want to mobilize people. It's all about discipling believers, raising them up to leadership. We have the strong conviction that every believer has tremendous potential to become a great leader. I believe there's leadership in everybody. I just believe that. I believe there's leadership in everybody. So that's one of the aspects of our DNA. Another aspect is this, and that is that we strongly feel called to, and it's deep down in the convictions of our soul, that we believe in building multiculturally. We believe that. If you see at our Fenton campus, which is our original campus, that it is very much multicultural. And not just, white and African-American, but also other ethnicities and nationalities, from, various Asian ethnicities, and there's African ethnicities and Latin American ethnicities, and it's a beautiful melting pot, and that's the way it is at our Central West End campus, and that's what we believe here, right here in Waterloo. Amen. Now I know I don't know Waterloo too well, but I know that Waterloo is probably not real multicultural in nature. Is that true or not? Or is it? Tell me if I'm wrong. Is it? It's pretty white, right? Okay. All right. So we would say, well, how can you build multiculturally? Well, can I tell you something about Fenton? Fenton is somewhat the same way, but it's amazing the beautiful diversity that we have in Fenton. And what we found is if you just simply preach what the Bible preaches, which is true inclusion of all diversity. Hey, folks, listen, we just believe in building a church that looks like heaven's going to look like. Are you with me? And so anyway, that's one thing, part of our DNA. Another part of our DNA is that we really strongly believe, and we work hard to maintain this, we believe that everything has to be authentic and real. No plastic, no hype, no making something up, you know, pushing people, rah, 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 whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's why, like in this service today, you see there's not necessarily, you know, I mean, and not that we don't jump shout sometimes, you know, we do. But you know, you didn't see that here today. But what you do sense is a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. And so it's got to be real. And one of the key reasons why you see Pastor Matt and Katie here leading this house and this campus here is because that's one of the things that they embody to a high degree, is that if it comes out of Matt's mouth, maybe you know it's going to be real and from his heart. You see him up here with his tears. I'm a guy that loves tears. I mean, I'm a man, and I like a man's man. I don't like wimpiness. I mean, I was going to say I don't like wimpy guys. I do like wimpy guys. I mean, I love all people, but I don't believe in wimpiness. Are y'all still out there today, huh? Have we lost anybody now? And so, you know, like Matt's a man's man. He's a strong man. But I love the tears. It shows you the authenticity. It shows you that what's coming out of his mouth is pouring forth out of his heart. And that's something that it's not unique to us. There, you know, obviously there's lots of, you know, authentic people in leadership in churches. But, you know, this is something that I will tell you this. We've certainly seen a lot more hype out there and a lot more rah-rah and, you know, just to, you know, kind of like keep the show going type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know that kind of preaching and leading the services where that you just keep going, come on, folks, now we're just going to come. And I tell you right now, we're just blessed God. Well, God's here today. Hallelujah. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, that stinks because it's not real. It's just the show must go on. And so we very much believe in keeping it real, keeping it authentic, keeping it humble before God. And another core value we have here, part of our DNA, is it's very spiritual. You ready for this one? We believe in having fun. Fun. I don't believe in coming to church. Three things must happen when you come to church. You must sense the presence of God moving in your life. Number two, you must know that you're hearing the voice of God in the message that's being preached. And number three, you must have a blast. Are you with me now? And so we believe very, very strongly in those things. We believe, let me just tell you this, as far as diversity, there's another core value we have. We believe in building with a diversity of generations. You see some churches that are just more older crowd. You'll see some churches that are just more younger crowd. And you'll see in our churches more of a diversity. And that's when you get started, you know, anytime you get started, like this is your fourth Sunday, you don't have exactly what you want, you know what I'm saying, yet. But you build toward that. That's my point, all right? But if you look again at Fenton, you know, you'll see such a diversity of generations there, from the oldest to the youngest. We're all there, teenagers and young couples and older people, you know. As a matter of fact, it's reflected on our staff. you know, our whole staff. You know, our staff works together, meaning our team of pastors, you know, including Pastor Matt, you know. We all work together. And, you know, our youngest pastor is, it would be Sean. And Sean is how old? He's 29? I think Sean is 29. Is that right? Is that right? 29. I mean, he acts older than that. But anyway, he's 29. So our youngest pastor is 29. And how many of y'all know how old our oldest pastor is? Our oldest pastor is 84. There you go. And we got everything in between, you know. I am 35. And I was at one time. And so, you know, we've just got everything in between. You know, you got Matt, you know, in his 30s, and my son Josh, who is pastors the Central West End, he's in his 30s, and you got Mike Limp, who's the campus pastor at Fenton, and he's in his 40s. He would hate it to me to say that, but he's in his early. No, he just turned 40. But anyway, so you get the point. So it's very important for us to build like it. Many much more I could say, but look, I'm going to lose all my time. Listen to this. We build under one vision, but I made this statement. We are reaching different areas and people groups with different characteristics, cultures, and needs, which means this. Although we function under that one vision, listen to this. Under the umbrella of that vision, then each campus has its own latitude and freedom to take and do whatever it takes to reach the culture of the people and the area that you're in. In this case, the Waterloo area and the surrounding. By the way, y'all know we're not here just to reach Waterloo. You know, Waterloo is the hub, right, of this whole area. And we're here to reach this whole cotton-picking area, right? I know there ain't no cotton here, but cotton-picking area. Anyway, and so there's a freedom and a latitude to do whatever it takes because the people in Waterloo and all the surrounding regions here, obviously, have your own distinctives, your own way of life. That's it. Certainly, I would certainly contrast it totally opposite of Central West End in St. Louis. I mean, that's on the way on the other extreme. And, of course, they are much different than Fenton, you know, the people in Fenton. So, you know, there's that latitude and freedom to do whatever it takes to reach that area. But make no mistake about it, folks. We are here to reach this area. And you want to know something? I believe with all of my heart. I will sit in this service this morning and worship together with you and watch the people, see what's happening here. And I just got to tell you, and you may think I'm biased, and I probably am, but I want to tell you, I believe this area, this whole, everybody in this area needs this church. Now, there are a lot of other good churches, and I'm not saying to come, we don't want people to come from other churches, but I'm saying the people who aren't in churches, if they need this church. I just thought when I was worshiping today, I thought, if everybody that's not in church today in this surrounding region only could know what's happening right here, the beauty of what's happening here, this place would be packed and beyond. You wouldn't even be able to hold them. So, obviously, we've just got to get the word out, right? All right. Now, so look at number two here, what it means to be one church with multiple campuses. It means we meet and work separately in our own field of harvest, but we are one people. We have the privilege of being part of a big family, and this makes our family reunions sweet. In other words, you know, I talk with pastors all the time who are pastoring churches all over this nation or in other parts of the world, and they're pastoring a church, but they feel all alone because they're not a part of anything greater, and so they have to handle everything all alone, and the people there handle everything all alone, and there's this feeling of insignificance and unimportance. And the beauty of being a part of one church in many campuses is that we are family together, and that there's more to us today than was what's here right now. And I said it makes our family reunion sweet. We have things. from time to time where we all get together. We just had a conference just a week or so ago for 3 days where all of us came together from all the campuses. And it's always a glorious time when we do that. Number three is this, and that is that we have the benefit of multiple layers of authority. You have a pastoral team that is here led by Pastor Matt. You have a senior leadership team of Josh, my son Josh Shelton, and Mike Limp. And you have an apostolic leadership of Donna and myself. So you can know that there is a strong team of leaders who can handle whatever comes up. And my point there is simply this, and that is that, again, whenever churches are just, say, let's say if this was a church, just totally by itself starting up, then whatever happens, then it's just left up to, well, the pastor's got to find the answer, you know, all by himself. And then if even if there is some kind of discrepancy or situation where there's a disagreement, you know, between some family or people, you know, in the church and some of the leadership or maybe two different families or whatever, then, you know, it's like there's no larger context for how do we settle this issue. And because sometimes, you know, even the pastor is so involved in the inner workings of everything that's going on that then some people, you know, if they were to have a disagreement, you know, feel like that, you know, well, you know, we can't talk to him. You know, he's just, you know, our problem. I know this well because I used to pastor a church like this, you know. And so my point is simply this, is that with the leadership that God has given us, that there's nothing that we can't handle. There's a great deal of security in that. And I want to say something about Matt, Pastor Matt, Pat, and Pastor Katie. And that is that, you know, I mean this with all my heart. I'm not patronizing. I mean this with all my heart. In my opinion, I've said this a lot of times in different ways, but in my opinion, I think that, I don't know if you realize this or not, but I think God's given you some of the best right here in Pastor Matt and Katie. They are just the choicest couple. There's anointing upon Matt's life that is very strong. It's getting stronger all the time. There's a great spiritual authority upon his life. And I'm telling you, these guys are going to do great things, and you're going to do it with them, right? Amen? All right. Number four was this. Multiple campuses provide the opportunity to develop and raise up future leaders to take new territory. I already said I believe that everyone has leadership in them. And what these multiple campuses does is it takes, there's even some of you here this morning that maybe you've sat at Life Church for some time, and but this here takes and provides an opportunity for you to step out of your comfort zone and be developed and raised up to a whole new level to take new territory. You got it? If you got it, say, I got it. All righty. Now, I want you to listen to this. I know this is a bit unorthodox, the way we're handling this today, but I'm here today just to help you as much as I can. And so I want to give you, I know that normally our quitting time is, I know some people don't like for you to have a quitting time. And, you know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But, you know, I do believe in being time sensitive. I mean, if I feel God's moving, now listen to me. If I feel God's moving in some powerful way that, I mean, I sense some Holy Spirit doing something powerful, I'll just go on. I mean, I won't stop or interrupt that. But otherwise, I believe in being time sensitive. And so I just have a few minutes, but everybody stand to your feet with me one more time if you would. And I want you to pray over these few thoughts that I'm just going to give you. I'm just going to give you a few thoughts. Let's just pray. Father, in Jesus Christ's name, I thank you for all these precious people that are here today. Thank you for the beginning of this great work that you are doing. Lord God, I ask you to give this church this entire area. Lord God, cause them to burn like a mighty brush fire through this entire countryside in Jesus Christ's name. Father God, I ask you, God, to speak through my lips right now. Give me precious words. Cause me to be concise. Let me hear your voice. Speak through my mouth. Think through my mind. Father, let your anointing flow through me. Open the hearts and ears of the hearers. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen? Amen. Amen. All right. real quick, I just want to give you this, and real short, and then we'll leave out of this place. But I want to talk to you just for a moment about faith and vision. Faith and vision. It takes a lot to plant a new church. But in my opinion, I mean, you have to have all those elements of DNA that I mentioned, you know, that are so important. That's what you build on. But you'll never, ever touch an area with a church, planting a new church, without faith and vision. And it takes vision, which is the picture of what you see happening. What is it going to look like? And faith actually is the muscle that produces that picture that you see. Hebrews, a famous portion of scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the Amplified says this. Now faith is the substance, or faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, I'm going to give you a couple quick lessons about what it takes in the way of faith to plant and build a church that touches an entire area. And here's what it is. It takes a faith that, first of all, hears from God. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 11, 1, it says faith is the conviction or the of the reality. What does it say there? It says it's the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, the proof of the things that we do not see. Well, conviction of what? Assurance of what? Where do we get that conviction and assurance? It's from the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing the Word. The only way faith comes is when you hear the Word of the Lord. And whenever we started Life Church back in 1980, it was because I was pastoring a little church in South Carolina, and God spoke to me and gave me a vision in the nighttime, 1979. I was awake, but God gave me this, what I call Sea of Humanity vision. It was an open vision. And I was a little guy. I was 25, 24 years old. And God, I was in South Carolina, and God says, go back to St. Louis, and what you see in this vision is going to come to pass. There's multitudes of people. And at the time, I was pastoring a church of about 90 people, thought that's what all I'd ever do. But because I got a word, and just listen. Folks, listen, I didn't get anything but a word. I got a word. I didn't get any money. I didn't get any people. I didn't get any sound system. You know, I had nobody giving me nothing. All I had was a word. But you know, there's something about when you get a word that changes everything. Honey, you can get a sound system. You can get money. You can get a handful of people that says they're behind you and all that. But if you don't get a word, it doesn't amount to anything. A church must be built on a word. And once that word comes, it's that word that carries you through. Listen to me now. It's not how many people were in church on last Sunday morning. That's not what is telling you whether God's building a great church or not. Y'all with me? It's not how great the service was, and that's why you believe God is building a great church. It's because you got a word, and the word is what tells you that God is building a great church. When nobody's showing up, you still got the word, and you're not standing on people showing up. You're standing on the word that God gave you. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. Back before we got that vision, before I pastored in South Carolina, we were a young couple traveling around in ministry and I'll never forget in Alabama, a little town called Gordo, Alabama. It's one of those, you know, one pump gas station towns, you know, and they wanted us to come and be their pastor. And so I went there, and they were going to vote me in. But before they vote me in, they asked me some questions, asked if my wife wore slacks, wore pants, you know, and I said, well, of course she wears pants, you know. I mean, does she wear? They said, does she wear men's slacks, men's pants? And I said, no, she has her own. They said, well, they said, we don't believe in women wearing slacks. You have to wear a dress. So we want you to be our pastor, but you have to tell your wife that she has to wear a dress the whole time that you're our pastor. And I said, I'm not going to do that. It's not about, it wasn't about the pants. It's about the stinking religious, you know, stuff, you know, people get themselves in. And then all of a sudden I realized, Edward, that the thing was corrupt from the core in the first place. You say, why? Because I began to realize later on, I didn't know it at the time. But you know what? If you're just going to a church because a few men voted you in, let me tell you something. Those men better have the money to sustain what you're doing. And those men better have what it takes to bring the people in and make the thing successful. But because if they're the ones that brought you here, then they're the ones you're going to have to rely on to take you through. But honey, let me tell you something. If you ever get a word of the Lord from heaven, all hell can break loose and everything can go wrong and all the money be gone and no people showing up and all the sound system break down and everything else happen. But if you got a word, honey, just like when Peter looked at Jesus out on the water and they were afraid, but Peter said, Lord, if you just give me a word and tell me to come, I can step out on that word. And the Lord said, come, one word. Come, and G. Peter stepped out, C-O-M-E, he stepped out on that word. Are you with me now? And so the thing is that faith requires whatever happens today, tomorrow, next week at this church, it requires you remembering the reason you came here, not just us as leadership deciding to plant this, not just Matt and Katie deciding this, but all of you who are here. A part of this place now, you got to remind yourself, I didn't come here because I believed it was going to be exciting or fun, you know, or whatever. I came here because I felt in my heart God was telling me to come into this place. And then you're there because you got a word. And let me tell you something, everything else will let you down, but a word won't let you down. You guys in this worship team, I'm so proud of you. I was so blessed by this worship. It was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, my Lord, when we started our church in 1980, me and Donna, we had 19 people, and she played the piano, and I led the worship. I was the worship team. We didn't need four or three microphones, two. We needed one. And I didn't know a lot of songs, and so we'd sing, He is Lord, He is Lord. And then we'd go to Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And then, you know, and that was about it. That was every Sunday. We didn't have to worry about a song list. It was the same thing every Sunday. I was so proud of these guys, but I want to tell you something, worship team. You guys, Dan and Molly and all the rest of you, Benji and whoever, all is up here. Let me just tell you this. Remind yourself when you get down the road a little bit, a few months, or whatever it is, you know, and maybe the newness is worn off, and sometimes it ain't fun. Remind yourself, I came here not to do something fun. I came here because I believe God was leading me to do this. And I am going to stick with this because I've got a word of the Lord in my heart. Obviously, by the way, all the rest of you, that's a good way to live, period. It's a great way to live. All right. So it takes a faith that hears a word from heaven. Number two is this. Listen to this. Number two, the word requires you to embrace the unknown. The word requires you to embrace the unknown. Now, this is interesting because, you know, y'all remember that even here later in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Abraham. This is a pattern all through the Bible about people who stepped out in faith. And it takes faith to build a region-shaking church. Abraham, whenever God spoke to him to go out, he went out from his home country. The Bible says, not knowing where he was going. Interesting, huh? God could have told him. How do you all know God could have told him? But God did not tell him. There was reason behind it. He said, you go out there, and when you get out there, I'll tell you where you're going to go after you get out there. You find that God, in Hebrews chapter 11, that God divinely warned Noah of a flood and told him to build an ark. But Noah built an ark having never seen any rain. Faith, a word from God, takes you into the unknown. He had to step out and do something. He had to build something to float on something he'd never seen. Think of that. And that's the way faith is. Listen, as you build this house to touch this region, that faith will take you into the unknown. It probably already has. There's something that's interesting about faith. When you step out in faith, it makes you uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. You find yourself doing things you weren't doing before. Some of them you don't like. You find yourself doing them with people you didn't necessarily want to do them with. Are you with me now? It takes you into the unknown. If you want to live life in the safety boat, then stay in the safety boat like the rest of the disciples did when Peter got out. But I'm going to tell you this, you'll never experience God show up in your life. I mean, in a powerful way where you've got a testimony, say, I know God showed up in my life that day, until you step out by faith into an arena that's uncomfortable. You know, there's a fascinating story in Matthew chapter 8 that I love. Years ago when I saw this, I've loved this ever since. In Matthew 8, there's a story where there's a blind man. And the guys brought this blind man to Jesus. He'd been blind for many years. And when Jesus came to the man, or the man came to Jesus, and sometimes, you know, when Jesus would just, most times, Jesus would just heal people right on the spot, right? Jesus didn't do that. You know what he did? The Bible says that Jesus took the man and he led him by the hand outside of town. And when he got him outside of town, then he prayed for the man, laid hands on him, and he healed the man. And then when he sent him back home, he told him not to go back by way of town. Don't go by way of town. Go back. Go around a different way. So he takes him out of town to heal him and sends him outside around town to get back to his house. What in the world's happening here? Listen to this. There's a very important principle in that. Whenever God shows up in your life and you're stepping out in faith and God shows up, in this case where the man was blind for many years, I begin to think about how that the man had lived before he was healed. The man had been blind, so what happened? When you're blind for many years, you know every piece of furniture in the house. You know how to step around it without looking because you can't see. You know where every doorknob is and how to open up. You know where the bathroom sink is. You know where the shower is. You know how to open the front door. Watch this. With your eyes closed, you know how to open the front door. You know how many steps it is to the curb. You know to turn left and how many steps it is down to the corner. You know how far it is from the curb to the street. You know how far it is across the street. Y'all listen to me now. You know where the store is. You're blind. You've learned all of this. And Jesus took him outside of town, and after he healed him, told him not to go back in town. Because God did, once he had opened his eyes, he did not want him to go back to a place where he was so familiar with it that he could live life with his eyes closed. Y'all with me now? Chances are, if he had gone back right to the place where he came from, where he knew every inch of everything, that he would not have been able to be challenged to live life by faith. So living life by faith, God will take you to places you've never been, to do things you've never done. And the reason is to keep your life living by faith. God wants you to continue to live by faith. Listen to this. I'm going to tell you this. Matter of fact, I believe this for years. I've said this for years. That if you go very long as a Christian, if you can look back over a few months and see it, say that, you know what, over these last handful of months, there really hasn't been anything happen in my life that required any measure of faith for me to do it, then something really needs to change in my spiritual life. Because God, when we move with God, He's constantly challenging us to do things that's a bit scary, that requires us to step out in faith and do new things, to help new people, to touch new arenas. Amen? That's why we're doing this. Do you know, just even starting this is uncomfortable. For, in other words, for us back, let's say at Fenton, it costs us at Fenton, you know. In other words, some, you know, resources and people and different things. At first, also, this is, it's your giving here that supports this place. But, you know, when you pull out people to go to a new place, you know, then it makes a challenge back at home. But we love living that way because we found only when you live stepping out into the unknown does God show up in a powerful way. Y'all still out there today. Last thing I'm going to tell you is this, and then I close. And that is that when you build a church by faith, here's what happens. I talked about vision and faith. Here's the vision part. Faith makes you pregnant. Did you all know that you're pregnant today? Did you all know Pastor Matt's pregnant today? He's not showing on the outside, but he's pregnant today. Listen, building by faith requires you to be pregnant. Here's what a vision is. A vision is getting a picture of something that God has spoken on the inside of you. It could be about your own personal life, something for your own personal life, or for this church. A vision of something God has spoken, and that word becomes a seed inside of you that becomes the embryo that you become pregnant with. And why is this important? I'm going to tell you why it's important. It's so important to be spiritually pregnant with this church because you actually produce what God wants to do in this community on the inside before you produce it on the outside. In other words, you carry it in the womb of your spirit. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you one thing it means. It means the same thing it means whenever you get pregnant with a baby. And that is that when you get pregnant with that baby, once you get pregnant with that baby, you start seeing the end result. You start seeing that baby born and delivered and, you know, everything else. I mean, even though there's just a little embryo on the inside of you. So it's not happened out there yet, but to you it's already happened. So much so that you start planning for it. You paint the room. You buy some clothes. You buy a crib or whatever else. You start making all these plans. And yet there ain't nothing out there. You say, well, where's it at? It's in here. It's in here. But yet you carry it in here before it happens out there. And here's what I want to say about that. I'm a big believer in this. Listen, you take this church on this fourth Sunday today, the number of people that are here, the environment that's here, which is beautiful, it's wonderful. But what this pastor sees, what we see, and I know what many of you see, is not what you see here today. This is beautiful. I mean, you say, oh, isn't this nice? It's beautiful. Yeah, oh, now. No, there's nothing wrong with this. This is beautiful. It's because this is where we are. It's wonderful. But I'm just wanting you to know, this is what it means to be pregnant with God's word. This is not what we see. To build a region-shaking church, you have to see not what's here today, what it is today. You have to see what it is that's in your spirit that is the ultimate in reality. What is it that God wants ultimately 5 years from now? What should it look like? What's it going to be like? How many people are there going to be? How many lives are going to be touched? How many people delivered and set free? How many people healed? How many are we going to be having saved on Sunday morning every Sunday? How many people filled with the Holy Spirit? How is he going to be? What's it going to look like? What's it going to feel like? What's it going to sound like? You have to, now listen, you have to live in the reality of that is the way it is now. On the outside, it's not. On the inside, you have to live like that's the way it is right now. Are y'all with me now? Because look, I mean, this is a bit of a practical note, but look, I've been around a long time and helped a lot of churches. And I'm just going to tell you this. One of the things that sometimes, now this is not a small church. And the reason I say that is because it's four Sundays. Four Sundays. This is a plant right now. Like Donna said, when we started with 19 people, you know, I would get up every Sunday and I would tell the people every Sunday from the whole first year, I would tell them every Sunday, you look at me, I say, you are not. What would I say? Huh? You're not the church that we are building. That you're the seed being planted for the church that we are building. You're the first fruits. I would tell them that every Sunday. You're not the church that we're building. You're the first fruits of that church that we're building. I say, do you get that? And boy, I just preached that to them. And I'd tell them we had 19. Second Sunday, we had 22. Woo, hallelujah. That was the worst Sunday ever. I tell you, we had 110 degrees and the air conditioning broke down in the hotel room we were in. And the reason we went to from 19 to 22 is there was these three people came in. Two of them were these beautiful women. I mean, beautiful, gorgeous women with beautiful hair all fixed up. And they had lots of makeup, beautiful makeup on. It was amazing. And whenever the air conditioning broke down in the middle of my message and it's 110 degrees, all of a sudden their makeup started running all down in. By the time it got finished with my message, I looked like I was in the wax museum looking at these ladies. It was all melting all down together, you know. And I thought, oh Lord, these people are never going to come back. You know, the next Sunday we had about the same thing, I think 22, and hung around there for a while. You get there about 4, 5, 6 weeks and you're still about 26 and you think, oh Lord, what's going on? One Sunday then after that it went back to 19. You feel like you're going backwards. But then you go, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, we got to 28. Woo, hallelujah, 28. And then 29. And then we broke 30. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, listen to what I'm saying. I'm just telling you this. Look, I'm here, standing here now, telling you that over the next 20 years after that, we grew to over 4,000 adults. 4,000 adults. No, not in 1 year. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. No, I mean, I said over the next 20 years. To over 4,000 adults. You know, so you see that and say, oh, praise God. But people don't understand this. You went back down to 19. You think, oh, Lord. But I kept seeing that. I would tell those people, this is not what God is building. This is the seed. This is the first fruits. And then we broke 30. And then we got to 35. I'll never forget, praise God, 35. You can't imagine how good 35 feels after 19 and 20. And anyway, and then we got to 40 and what? Got to 40. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, oh, I'll never forget. That's right. We were running about 40. And all of a sudden, one day, this whole family came in. A mom and dad and four kids. They got five. How many they got? Anyway, four kids. So anyway. So mom and dad and four kids. And I thought, man, you got 40 and you have six walked in. I mean, my God, you have grown by a huge percentage point that day. and that family that came in, that was Joyce Meyer and Dave Meyer and her kids. And they came in that Sunday and became part of our church. And, of course, many of you know her story, that she actually, her first job in ministry was my secretary. And that lasted for one day, and then I fired her. And that's the way she says it. But anyway, but God just told me she was in the wrong position, you know. God had something else for her. And then she later became on her staff, and she was on our staff for 5 years. Anyway, the thing grew. And then, all right, listen to this. I just want to tell you, it wasn't some overnight explosion. Finally, we got to a year, and we had grown from 19 to 75. We hit 75. But you know, I had this world vision. I think, how are you going to get there, man? I'm going to be as old as Methuselah before this thing happens. But you know what? I learned that everything starts as a seed. Everything starts as a seed. So we hit 75. But you know what? Over that next year, the second year, we went from 75 and we went to 250. 250. Now we were at 250 after 24 months. And 250 felt, once you get to 250, it's like, whoo, baby. Now the sound of singing really sounds good. You don't just hear me anymore. You with me? And then we just continued to grow, you know, and had our spurts at different times. And, you know, just kept growing and growing, and the rest is history. And one thing led to the other. I want to say this at this point before I close, that it's not about the numbers. That's not it. We're really all about just touching the people. But let's face it. The Bible talks about numbers. God thought enough that he made a book called Numbers. And, you know, so the numbers are important, because numbers is a way that we show, are we progressing in the people that we're reaching? How many are we touching? And I would just leave you with this, folks. Whether you are part of the team that came as the church planting team here, or whether you are some who've come today or the last few weeks since this church began, I just encourage you, especially if you're here today for the first time, consider really digging in just digging in and plant yourself here. I can promise you this. Help be part of building this house. Get your mouth going. Out there on the telephone, out on the street, you know, down at Starbucks or Walmart or wherever. Get on the internet, you know, Facebook and, you know, Twitter and, you know, all whatever that universe is. And just get that word out and tell them this. They're here, tell them to say, you know what? I know there are a lot of churches out around here, but something very precious and special is happening right here in Waterloo. Amen? It really is. And I promise you this, we will never try to manipulate you. We'll never try to control you or use you to some advantage for our own good. We are only here to help see God do in your life all that he wants to do. Can somebody say a big amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise in this place today.
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.